Y'all turning your Bibles to Luke 8. I'm going to continue my introduction from this morning. Continuation of last week. We were in Mark 6. As I said, go back and listen to that. I felt like it was a very significant word for us. Lines up with so much of what God's been speaking to me through other ministries, other houses. And man, I love it that, you know, me and Marty were talking this week, and it's like, you know, it doesn't matter, and we kind of listen to a lot of the same thing, whether it's the, you know, the Upper Room in Dallas, or Jesus Image in Orlando, or Bethel, or you know, any of these really just outstanding ministries that God's speaking the same thing all over to His church, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He speaks to us. And I just want to come up alongside of Him. As He comes alongside of me, I want to come alongside of Him. And I want to behold His beauty and inquire in His temple. David got that. As an Old Testament cat, he got that right. And so we're going to be in Luke 8. Last week, we talked about two groups of people. And we asked, are we treating Jesus as common? Or are we treating Jesus as divine? And we talked about the group of people at Nazareth, his hometown. Jesus came in and he was there. He taught in the temple. They gave him Isaiah. He began to speak out of Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's anointed. Great. The most significant prophetic declaration that perhaps he ever said about himself. Because you know what he was saying, you know what he was declaring, and why it so offended them. It so offended them that they tried to, one of the gospels said they tried to throw him off a cliff outside of town. John the Baptist made the great declaration, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." And then Jesus came in and he said, "I'm the Jubilee. I have come to set the captives free. I have come to put everything in its proper order, in its proper place." Basically, he said, "I'm the one you've been waiting on. I'm the Messiah." And in the midst of that great, amazing declaration, the potential for that amazing, amazing move of God, they rejected him because they viewed him as common. He says, I mean, all the gospels bear it out. They're like, "Isn't this Mary's son?" Some of them even said Joseph's son. They got it wrong because they didn't know who his real daddy was, you know. So we know his brothers. They said, "Don't his sisters still live among us?" And so they treated him as common, and it said that he couldn't do anything significant there because of their unbelief. They couldn't enter into his rest. The one place, his hometown, man, I mean, you know he's wanting to go back and just release some stuff in that place. "I know these people. I want to bless these people." And the unbelief, it made it impossible. Said he healed some people. We act like that's the pinnacle, and God was kind of like, "Yeah, that's, you know, I heal some folks." Not that it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but he's like, "If you saw the depth of who I am, you'd realize that's just a fruit that comes off my tree. Naturally comes off my tree." And then we contrasted him with the group of people that we see later on in Mark 6. And that was the people that outran him to the other side of the lake. And said they knew him. They knew where he was going. They knew him as something other than common. They chose to receive him as something other than common. They didn't say, "He'll be back, Lori. So tomorrow I'll get a word from him. I know he'll be back. He's just taking a break." They said, "There's a burning in us," and I love this so much so that not only did they outpace him, but the word said that they drug people out of every village along the way and says, "Man, we're going to meet Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to go be taught of Jesus." They were so excited about it. They were compelling people. Said, "Man, you come on, where y'all going? We're going to meet Jesus. When's it going to happen? I don't know. We're just going to be there when he gets there. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't have any food. I've taken no thought for tomorrow." One of the scriptures, I don't know if y'all have ever paid attention to this. One of the scriptures where Jesus fed the multitudes. You know what he said? On this particular case here with the 4,000, he said, I've been teaching all day long, and these people are tired and hungry, so we need to get them some food. In one of the scriptures, you know what Jesus said? They've been with me for 3 days. Marty, 3 days. These cats have been with me 3 days without. One of them, it says, they've been basically fasting for 3 days. They were fasting from physical food, but they were feasting on his food. They were feasting on the bread of life for 3 days. And we're like, I don't know about that, man. That church service lasted more than an hour and a half, 45 minutes. I had a local pastor tell me one time, if you preach more than 20 minutes, you're saying too much. I was like, man, I can't even do a 20-minute introduction. Half of it, you would know him if I told you his name. Sure did. I said, I can't even do a 20-minute introduction. I'm not saying let's just be long for the sake of being long, but I have never been somewhere in a amazing, intimate place with my wife and says, oh, man, this stinks. I'm ready just to get out of here. It's like the opposite of Walmart, you know. I want to stay and I want to linger. And so you had this second group of people, not dragging this out, but you had this second group of people, and they treated him as divine, and he did great stuff in their midst. So today we're in Luke 7, and we are going to contrast two individuals instead of two groups of people. Same vein. But I want us to come into a place and realize something that, as I said a while ago, and I'm not being mean in this, I'm just kind of being blunt, and this is the way it is. Somebody will take your place. Somebody will take your place. If you don't properly worship him, somebody will. If you don't commit your life to him, somebody will. We'll break it on down the food chain. If you don't properly show your wife love and honor her, somebody will. If you don't show your kids attention, somebody will. It might be society. It might be social media, but somebody's going to target them. There's just a fact in life. If you don't step up in the place, in the space that God has created for you. Here's the thing, man, is he's not asking me. We hear that little phrase, and I use it a lot. You know, stay in your lane. I do. I'm a lot of a do-it-myself kind of guy. You know, I'm kind of like, man, I don't pay them to do that. I can do that. But I'm learning to stay in my lane and let somebody else excel in their lane. And we come in, and here's the thing, is God created space for you. God created space for you. God created space. I'm going to pick on you for a minute, Matt. You just caught my eye this morning, okay? I love you, brother. When God saved you, he created space for you. He created a place at the table. He created a place at the throne. He created a place at the foot of the cross. He created a place at an empty tomb. He created a place in an upper room. He created a place at Pentecost. He created a place in all these areas for you to occupy and to live and to flourish in. When he gave you as a gift, gave you her as a gift for a wife, you know what? He created a space for you to see her beauty. To honor her, to love her, to serve her, to minister to her, to be a beautiful head and covering for her. When he gave you those children, he created a space for you. When he placed you in your realm of influence, in West Georgia, in your people group, in this house, he created a space for you. And he wants you to fill that space. He wants you to fill that void. He wants you to flourish in that place. He wants you to be a mighty oak of righteousness. He wants you to have a leaf that does not fade. A 12-month, year-round, fruit-bearing tree is what he wants you to be. He created space for you to do that. But if you choose not to, somebody else will. If you choose not to worship him, I made reference to the rocks crying out as Jesus came in on what we call Palm Sunday, his triumphal entry. the religious leaders. Tell them to hush. Tell them to hush. I like the King James on that. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you that if these hold their tongue, the very rocks will cry out. And I say, I don't want no rock to take my place. I don't want Keith Carter to take my place in the space that God's created for me. And you don't want me to take your place in the space that God has created for you. But if you choose not to, somebody will. And that's not saying somebody's going to steal your wife or anything. I'm talking about honor, support, adoration. I'm not about this whole realm. If you're not a man your boys can look up to, then you know what? They're grown men now. But if you're not a man your boys can look up to, you know what they'll do? They'll look up to somebody else. That will shape their identity. We're talking about worship here, but it's a bigger stroke than just worship. It starts with worship. It starts with honor. It starts with serving Him. But it encompasses every area of our life. You choose not to live generously and give, somebody else will. They'll take your place. And you'll wonder why I'm always behind the eight ball. Why I just can't ever seem to make ends meet. No matter how much money you make, just can't ever seem to make the ends meet. I still struggle with my power bill every month. I still struggle with my car payment every month and all of that stuff. Somebody else will take that place at the seat of blessing. I promise you guys. Read the scripture. I'm not trying to bully you. I'm trying to help you this morning. Let's look at these two individuals right here. This is a super cool, awesome story. I absolutely love this story. We're in Luke 7, verse 36. It says, afterwards Simeon, I think some of them call him Simon. Afterwards Simeon, a Jewish religious leader, asked Jesus to his home for dinner, and Jesus accepted the invitation. Jesus, knowing what the result was going to be, knowing that he wasn't going to be properly honored, knowing that he wasn't going to be properly recognized, accepted, or anything, he accepted the invitation anyway. Jesus accepted the invitation. And when he went to Simeon's home, he took his place at the table. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard that Jesus was at Simeon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader, and in front of all the guests, she knelt at the feet of Jesus. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Then, as an act of worship, she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume. When Simeon saw what was happening, verse 39, he thought, this man can't be a true prophet. If he were really a prophet, he would know what kind of sinful woman is touching him. In verse 40, Jesus said, Simeon, I have a word for you. He said, go ahead, teacher. I want to hear it, he answered. You know what Simeon's biggest problem was? He didn't recognize who he was hosting for dinner. He thought he was just a rabbi. He thought he was his equal or less. When we properly see Jesus, it is impossible for us to treat him as common. The reason that we are able to treat him as common, because we're looking at him wrong. We're not seeing him through the Father's lens. We're not seeing him through the lens of the Holy Spirit. We're not seeing him through the lens of all of creation. We're seeing him through a skewed lens that the enemy wants us to see him through. And Simeon came in and he viewed Jesus as common, as a rabbi, as a teacher. Go ahead, teacher. I want to hear it. I want to hear your word. I want to hear your teaching. I think that perhaps Simeon invited Jesus to his home out of curiosity as much as anything. I don't see in Scripture where it was a clear thing. Sometimes they tried to entrap Jesus and set him up and all of this stuff. I think it was a thing where it's like, man, I'm going to have this cat over and kind of, I've been hearing all the fuss. I want to see what all the fuss is about. Try it out and see what it's like. I tried that Christianity. I tried church life. I tried, you fill in the blank, of any of the religious connotations we have about God. Oh, I tried that and it just didn't work for me. You never saw Jesus for who he was. Because once you do, your life will never be the same. Once you do, your life will never be the same. You will be ruined for anything else. You will be ruined. Let me get out of my southern vernacular. You will be ruined for anything else. And he said, Master, go ahead and teach on. I want to hear it. Verse 41, it's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and the other only owed $10,000. When it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owed. Tell me, Simeon, which of the two debtors would be more thankful? Which one would love the banker most? Simeon answered, I suppose it would be the one with the greater debt forgiven. Jesus said, you're right. He says, you're right, Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simeon about the woman still weeping at his feet. I love this, guys, is that she was at such a place of gratitude. She was oblivious to everything else going on. She's still weeping at Jesus' feet. To worry about any of the looks that she was getting. The word says the whole community knew she was a prostitute. You think anybody was you think any of the good Jewish women in there were giving her the stank eye? Trashy woman coming in. I bet the mother of the house, I bet Simeon's wife was beyond herself. What is this woman doing in my home? I'm trying to host a dinner. He probably got some of their friends to come over too. We're going to check out this. Y'all come on over. Jesus is going to come tonight. Embarrassing me in my home. So you know that she was getting the double stank eye. Some of the men were probably like, if they hadn't slept with her, they were probably like, man, I've definitely lusted after her, you know, and I'm kind of. All kind of stuff going on. And she was oblivious to all of it. Because you know what she was doing? She was focused on Jesus. She was smitten by him. She said, I ain't got time for any of this other stuff. I'm in the presence of the Master. I'm in the presence of the one that set me free. I'm in the presence of the one that forgave me all my sins. I ain't got time to worry about what all y'all jokers are thinking. She wasn't worried about, quit worrying about who's offended at you. Come on. Somebody wrote something bad about me. They put something on social media. It throw you out of your whole rhythm of life because somebody doesn't like it. You know what, me and Lori kind of got to a place a long time ago. You know what we say now? Not that we don't care, but you know what? We kind of don't. We're like, get in line. You don't like us getting in line. It's a long line. You don't like my family getting in line. It's a long line. They don't like you, Ariel. Tell them to get in line. It's a long line. Because I'm focused on Jesus. I'm focused on trying to love Him. I'm focused on trying to serve Him. I'm focused on trying to minister to people that will allow me to minister to them. I'm focused on trying to touch the world. Starting right here in Harrison County in Bremen. I'm focused on that. I ain't concerned about your nonsense over here. I don't care how you look at me. I care how He looks at me. I know how He looks at me. I always said a long time ago, I don't care if anybody thinks I'm sexy, long as she thinks I'm sexy. I don't care if you think I'm sexy, Randy, long as she thinks I'm sexy. Right? Come, y'all kind of draw up when I say something like that. Brad, it don't matter if Jamie thinks you hot as long as Beth thinks you're hot. I loved it. We were at Errol's wedding. I'm sidetracking just a little bit. We were at Errol's wedding, and it was up at Charleston. And we had a live band, and we were dancing and all this, and one of the football coaches was there. I ain't going to name the name, but one of the football coaches was there. Well, his wife, you'd love this. You know who I'm talking about. Or you don't, but you would. He's out there dancing with his wife. You know, and everybody's dancing. We got a live band. We're having a good time and all this stuff. He's out there dancing with his wife, and he's like, baby, he said, eyes on me. Don't look at nobody else. You know what I'm saying? I know I ain't the best looking. I know I don't know how to dance, but you just keep your eyes on me, and I'll be the best looking thing here if that's all you're looking at, right? And I love that. He said, eyes on me, baby, eyes on me. Don't look at this person. Don't look at this person. Eyes on me. Eyes on the one that you're in love with. Eyes on the one that you're smitten with. And we want to look at everybody else and wonder what they're thinking and what are they saying and what are they doing. I don't care. I don't care what fashion statements are. I don't care. Now, the Lord gets on to me sometimes and says, you need to step it up a little bit. Come on now. Some football coach was coaching yesterday, and they said, yeah, he's out there in his cut-off blue jean shorts and the sleeve of a shirt and all that. And I'm like, you know, I ain't saying you got to wear a tie like a basketball coach, but cut-off blue jean shorts. Come on, man. But obviously, he don't care. He said, you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about coaching. And this woman, I love this right here. I love that one little phrase that she was still sitting at his feet weeping. She wasn't worried about Simeon. She wasn't worried about Simeon's wife. She wasn't worried about the 12 disciples that were there. She wasn't worried about anybody else there. She was locked on to Jesus. I want to tell you something. Your life would be amazingly better if you just lock on to Jesus. He said, that sounds like a pretty simplistic existence. It is the deepest thing you'll ever latch on to, my friend. It'll take you to ridiculously great places. It'll change the way you walk through this life. If you'll just latch on to Him. If you'll just latch on to Him. And she was locked on to Jesus. Still weeping at His feet. And then Jesus used her for object lesson. I love this. Not just to object lessons. He's like, this is the way it's supposed to look. He said, do you see this woman kneeling here? She is doing for me what you didn't bother to do. Hence my statement, somebody will take your place. She's doing for me what you didn't bother to do. She's doing for me what you did not bother to do. Man, that's a powerful statement. That's an indicting statement, isn't it, to Simeon? Here's the thing, guys. Not only is it even comes across like there's negligence here. You didn't even consider it important enough to do. You didn't even bother to do this. The most basic thing of hosting, and you didn't even bother to do it. God help us when we so know how to do church that we don't even need Jesus. We can build a church without the Holy Spirit. He said, you didn't even bother to do this. And she's doing it, though. She's doing it. He said, when I entered your home as your guest. Now look at this. This is heavy, guys. When I entered your home as your guest. That gets real personal right there, doesn't it? Randy, when he came into your world, when he came into your lane, not Sid, quit saying, well, he's doing this. I've had so many people, and they're like, well, I just ain't following Jesus no more because I saw Sid do this, or Lori said this, or somebody at the church did this and all that stuff. Dude, he's entered into your house. When he entered into your lane, when he entered into your world, what did you do with him? I'm not sure how all this judgment thing's going to work. You know, the great white throne judgment and all of that stuff. But I do know this. When I stand before him one day, it ain't going to be what Brett House do. It ain't going to be what Nick White do. I entered your house. I entered your heart. I entered your space. I entered your marriage. I entered your home. I entered in a space with your three children. Yours. Not the White household. Not the Garner household. Not the Carter household. I entered into your house. I entered into your house. Y'all know our life. We like to travel a lot. We go to some cool places. We do some adventurous stuff. And I've had a lot of people say, we just live our life vicariously through you. I'm like, quit. Go create your own adventure. Go create your own adventure. Live your life. We follow all these people on Instagram and we live vicariously through them, don't we? I mean, it's cool to look at some stuff. Lori show me some stuff every once in a while. I'll say, oh, check this out. This is pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'm getting where watching sports does nothing for me. You know why? Because I want to do stuff. That my emotional stability is going to depend on an 18-year-old kid. And whether or not he gets a holding call on him or misses a field goal. There's people in Clemson, South Carolina dying right now because a kid missed a 29-year-old field goal, 29-yard field goal. He said, I entered your house, Simeon. I didn't enter her house. You didn't come to my house. I entered your house. I love what Bill Johnson says. He said, when Jesus comes, he brings his world with him. When Jesus comes into your house, he comes into your life, he brings his world with him. And the real question is, Eris, what are you going to do with it? It ain't what me and Lori are doing with it. It's not what somebody else, it's not what Brett and Ali are doing with it. What are you doing with it? All these things you're weighing, you know, I do this or I do this. And he's entering your house, entering your world. What does the Holy Spirit say to you? I like that Project World. He entered into that world. He entered into, brought his world with him. I entered into your house. Now what do you do with it? That's the real question. I love the wording in this. He said, when I came into your house, when I came into your house, as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with a customary kiss of greeting, but from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven of all her many sins. This is why she has shown me such extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little. Then Jesus said to the woman at his feet, all your sins are forgiven. And all the dinner guests said among themselves, who is this? Who is the one who can even forgive sins? Then Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace. Before I dive into three things that I want to pull out of this, I want to make a couple statements about this. Jesus had already had an encounter with this woman. He said, because I forgave her of her sins, because she experienced my forgiveness, that's why she loves me so much, and that's why she's extravagantly worshiping me right now. It wasn't a thing that she did this, and then Jesus came in, and he who is forgiven much loveth much, right? That's what he's saying in this. You forget what God saved you out of. You think, oh, it wasn't that bad. We like that Elton John song, Tiny Dancer. Oh, she thought that she laughed because the boulevard wasn't that bad. We get thinking it wasn't that bad. In hindsight, we even glorified it a little bit. You remember them days? How awesome it was. All I remember, man, was I was lost and unwhole and incomplete. Jesus had already forgiven her. He had already had an encounter with her. And because of that, as a result of that, what she experienced with him, then she gave him extravagant worship, extravagant love. Then Jesus comes in. I like this. In a very public setting, Jesus comes in and he says, your sins are forgiven. Who was he saying this for? Well, he was reaffirming it to her publicly, but you know what he's doing? He was saying this for the sake of everybody in there. Said, y'all can brand her how you want to. This is how I brand her. Y'all remember when Satan is accusing, I think it's Zacharias, the high priest, and he's come before him and he said, he's this, 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 and this. And the Lord comes in and basically says, shut your face. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And Jesus was giving a public affirmation. I've forgiven her. I saved her. I set her free. Simeon was saying, he don't know what kind of woman this is touching him. Jesus knew exactly who she was. He said, I didn't come for those that aren't sick. He said, they don't need a physician. I came for the ones that are in need. We don't realize what kind of need we have except for him. Because we're comfortable in our Christianity, right? I don't even know if it's a thing anymore, but we can listen to J93.3 in our car and be all good, right? We're real spiritual. We'll stick a sticky note on our dash that's got some Bible verse on it. And the whole time we're like, I'm good. I don't need the Lord. He said, your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace. I'm going to read my note right here that I pulled out of three of these verses. I said, someone will take your place, Simeon. She did for Jesus what he didn't bother to do. She did for Jesus what Simeon didn't bother to do. This is what Jesus in verses 44 through 46 says about Simeon. In verse 44, he said, you didn't think about offering me water for my feet. He didn't say you decided not to. He said, you didn't. It didn't even cross your mind. Didn't even cross your mind. You weren't intentional. You weren't purposeful. And yet when she found out Jesus was there, she was very intentional and very purposeful. It didn't say when she got there, she's like, oh, I got this. I'll throw this on there. It said she took an alabaster jar and she filled it with expensive perfume. Why did she do that? Because she went with a purpose. I'm going to anoint him and I'm going to pour this on him and I'm going to worship him and I'm going to lavish, because you know what? He is worth every penny. He's worth every bit of effort. So his indictment was, you didn't even think. Which world are we thinking in and about? Carnal world or spiritual world? Our carnal man or our spirit man? That's why he says your belly's your God. It's not that you're a food whore. He's saying your belly's your God because you think about what touches you on a physical, sensual way instead of what sets your soul on fire, instead of what gives you peace. He said you didn't even think. Then he comes in verse 45. He said, you didn't even welcome me. So you didn't even think to start with. Then you didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting. He said, you didn't even do for me what you would do for your Aunt Tolly. Or Susie or Betsy or whatever. You didn't even honor me the way you would honor a regular guest. And he says, but from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't honor me. You didn't honor me. Even with a basic honor. Guys, it's a big deal. He's a big deal. I so want to get back to that in my life. If I have slipped any, I want to get back to that in my life. If I have slipped any. We ain't talking about saved and lost, heaven and hell. We're not talking about that. Get on past that. Apostle Paul got talking about that stuff, and he's like, man, the baptisms and all these doctrines. He says, yes, that's basic. Let's move on past that. Man, we're talking about honoring him. We're talking about recognizing him. We're talking about being purposeful and intentional with him. How do I host him? When he comes into my home, what does it look like? When he comes in this house, what does it look like? You remember the indictment in Hebrews 4? What was the indictment in Hebrews 4, Jamie? He said they did not let the word affect them deeply. You know what that was? Being casual with the word. Start letting it affect you deeply. Quit listening to stuff as background noise. Quit listening to stuff as background noise. We believe in osmosis in Christianity, don't we? That if it's just blaring in the background, I'll get some of it. And I'm not saying there's not some power in the atmosphere. There is. You're a man, Keith, so I know this applies to you because I know it applies to me. If I am focused on something else and Lori is talking to me about something, I won't hear a word she says. And she'll say three or four sentences and she's like, hello, what did I just say? And I'm like, I ain't got a clue because I was listening to SportsCenter. And I know it don't happen to any of y'all. Randy can't even sit in a room with anybody else during a Georgia game. You know what? We've been friends with them forever. And you know what we never do? We never get together and watch a Georgia football game. Never. You know why? Because he is so focused on the game. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It wasn't a knock on Randy. I'm just saying we get so focused on the wrong stuff that the Lord can walk down the road to Emmaus with us and we don't even realize it. We can have the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that spoke everything into existence, everything you know. He thought of it first, and then he spoke of it into existence. And you can have him in your home, and you don't even put honor on it. You didn't even think to wash my feet. And the God that created everything, and you don't even think to wash my feet. Didn't even cross your mind. God help us. God help us. Don't say nothing about Donald Trump. Don't say nothing bad about Nick Saban. Kirby Smart. I'll fight you over that. The God of the universe just walked into your world. How do you respond to that? Whew. And then lastly, I'm closing with this. He said, but from the moment I came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. And then in verse 46, he gives him three indictments here. Three corrections. Verse 46, he said, you didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven all her many sins, and this is why she has shown me such extravagant love. Can I point out something right here that I think is very significant? Look at what Jesus said. You didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. What's Jesus' focus on right here? It's not the cost of the perfume. He said, you didn't even take the time. You didn't even take the time. He didn't say you didn't write the check. He said you didn't, he didn't say you didn't set aside the proper resources. He said, you did not even take the time to anoint my head with oil. Didn't even take the time. Ain't no big deal. I cooked him a T-bone steak. Jesus didn't say nothing about food. This whole story, food ain't even mentioned other than the fact he got invited to dinner. It didn't say anything about how the decor was. It didn't say what the church looked like. Come on, let's get real for a second. It didn't say what the church looked like. It didn't say what kind of program you had. It didn't say if they had some musical accompaniment. Oh, it was awesome. I went over to, got invited to Simeon's house, and he had a violin player. Serve the best wine. Didn't say nothing about any of that. He said, how did you host me when I came into your world? Krista, he don't want your stuff. He wants your heart. He wants your focus. He wants your passion. He wants your time. He just wants to go for a walk. It's that simple. Let's do the kiss thing. Let's keep it simple, stupid. He just wants to go for a walk. And we'll run out and we'll do a dog and pony show so everybody can see it, but we missed our whole heart of worship. You didn't even think about that. You were more worried about the menu You are more worried about the other guest. I guarantee you this one thing, and I'm subjecting this in here, but I believe in my heart of heart, Simeon was more worried about his friends that came, his other religious leaders that came. He was more worried about what they were going to think about the evening and what they thought about him than the one he was really hosting. I got a question right here. Was he hosting Jesus or was he hosting them? And Jesus just happened to be the sideshow. Real, real significant question for your life. Everybody take this to heart right now. Everybody zone in. Y'all hear me on this? Are you hosting Jesus or are you trying to host the world and he's the sideshow? Boom, that's heavy. Cindy, are you hosting him or are you hosting the world? He's just the accoutrement you bring in with him. Because I want my friends to say I'm hosting Jesus. I want the appearance. That's all of us, man. Come on, guys. Let's get real. He said, I got these three things I'm going to say that I'm going to get back to this one phrase, and we're finishing with this. He said, she did for me what you failed to do. I got a question for you. If Simeon had done these things with a good heart, y'all think Jesus would have received them? Absolutely. Nicodemus didn't know what to make of Jesus, but he came around. I believe Nicodemus is in heaven with Jesus right now. The word tells us he helped Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus off the cross. And to start with, he's like, I don't know what to make of this guy. I'm just going to go visit him in private and try to figure this out. And Jesus is talking about being born again. And I'm asking him, how do I crawl up in my mama's womb when I'm a grown man? I mean, it's stupid, man. You know, how do I do this? And Jesus said, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't get this. But it didn't cause him to. It caused him to pursue. The more I know, the less I know, guys. When I think I've halfway got this figured, I ain't got a clue, Todd Pope. I'm just trying to figure this out along the way. But I know the union with him's amazing. You know what we're doing? We're figuring it out together. He already knows, but he's letting me figure it out with him, okay? It's not complicated. Just how do you host the creator of the universe? I make people mad sometimes because they don't experience what we've experienced. And I will make the statements like being married is the easiest thing that we do. And that's no lie and that's not preacher speak. I look and it kind of blows my mind because when Lori was Mary's age, we were married. Setting up house. No pun intended. We didn't have... She really didn't have a clue. I mean, I had a better clue than her, but we still didn't have a clue. Just because I had it patterned in front of me. But you know why it worked? Because we were crazy in love with each other. We were committed to each other. And so we figured it out along the way. Jesus doesn't care if you have all the answers. He doesn't care if you've got half the answers. He just wants you to see him for who he is and say, let's go for a walk together. That's it. That's it. My point on everything that I've said or everything the Holy Spirit said in these scriptures this morning, just know who you're walking with. That's the key, Randy. Recognize who you're walking with. You're walking with him. And as long as you realize that, you'll never be a Simeon. But the day you lose sight of that, you'll turn into a Simeon real quick. You'll turn in, based on last week, you'll turn into Nazareth real quick. And he'll become common. When I never stop being in awe of him, that's when I'm getting it right. Never lose sight of who you're walking with. That's it. That's it. That is life union with him. I just simplified Christianity, guys. That's life union with him. That's what he's talking about in John 15. That's life union with him. Is never failing to recognize who you're hosting in your house. I just gave you some more marriage counseling. That's it. Host him well. And he'll come into your world and he'll bring his world with him. That's it. That is it. All right? Let's stand to our feet. All right. Everybody happy? Did I make everybody mad today? Did I succeed in that? Get bumper stickers and put them on everybody's vehicle next week. Says, don't be a Simeon. Because if you do, somebody will take your place. If you do, somebody will take your place. We say, I just want a seat at you got a seat at the table, dude. In life, you got a seat at the table, the master's table. You got a seat at the table. Unless one day you fail to occupy it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Wow. Man, I love the words. Word's good, isn't it? The word's good. And he taught them many wonderful things. He taught them many wonderful things. It's one of them. Behold his beauty and inquire of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to speak some can I speak blessings over y'all? We'll dismiss this way. Amen. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you. I will prophetically declare, I thank you for a heart that wants to know you. I thank you for a heart that wants to host you. Not like Simeon, but like the unnamed woman that we see in this. Like Mary that we see in Luke 8. Joanna. These other ladies that ministered to the Lord of their substance. I thank you for a heart that wants to host you like that. I pray for all of us in here, myself included, that we would never fail to see you for who you are and as you are. As we're on that road to Emmaus, let our heart burn within us. And let us respond properly to that burning heart. Lord, I don't even have to pray blessings and abundance over these people because when they host you well, that naturally comes with it. So my prayer is simply that they would just see you properly and host you properly. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. In Jesus' name, we place all of our hope today. Amen and amen. Yes. Thank you, guys. Love y'all. Y'all have an amazing week this week.